good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Dave Allen, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Wednesday, November 11th, 2020. Good afternoon, Dave.
Hello, Melody, and happy hump day.
Yes, it is. And more important than that is Veterans Day. So November 11th, banks were closed. And I just want to give a special thanks to all the veterans out there and, you know, for all that they've done today and yesterday. So I don't want to get all teary here. It's easy for me to do. So we're going to go ahead and get into the gold and silver pricing. Gold today was down $14 at $1,864. Silver's only down a penny at $24.30. Platinum was down 21 at $867. But palladium was down almost 6.5%, $149 at $2,340. USDX today, I mean, it was stronger, 0.30, but, you know, still at 93.02. Crude oil was up 14 cents at $41.50. Paper markets today, again, we're still going to see some numbers trickle through. The Dow was down 29,397. The NASDAQ was up 2%, 11,786. The S&P was up 27 points at 3,572. 10-year yield, 0.96%. And everybody was just happy overseas in the Asian countries and Europe, except Hong Kong. But they weren't that unhappy. They were only down 74 points. And that's about it, Dave. As we were talking about heading into before we came on the air, it seems like everything is in limbo. I don't know. Everybody's, glued to whatever network or program that they listen to get their news. So we'll have to see when things are, get shook up a little bit in these markets, but we're going to talk about that when we come back from the first segment's break. We have Wendy Wilson. We have to go to Wendy Wilson from Apothecary Herbs. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melanie. Hi, Dave.
Hi there.
I thought we'd talk about how we can build some pathogens. You ready? This is going to be like a cooking class.
Oh, we're going to build.
We're going to build something. Yeah.
Right. Yay.
Well, so let me just explain. The word pathogen refers to a disease, okay? So science is building them. Science has been perfecting the art of creating disease over the last 100 years, actually. So recently, some researchers at the Medical University in Vienna found 7 different diseases inside the COVID-19 virus. Ooh. Hmm. How do you suppose they got there?
Let me count the ways.
Oh, I know. So the research did get published in the November 2020 Journal of Nature. So, you know, it makes you want to look at what science is up to regarding what they're creating in the lab, supposedly for our benefit. But it could be some seriously scary stuff. Here is a quote from Michael Hagman. He's with the Science Journal. He says this: "It's almost like that famous trick where the magician drops pieces of a rope into a hat and pulls out a whole length intact." He says scientists can now smuggle up to 17 snippets of disease DNA into a cell, and presto, it comes out as infectious influenza, the likes no one has ever seen before. So the goal, he says, the vaccine developers have is to create strains of pathogens to make more vaccines. Get it?
Mm-hmm, I do.
Okay, so a lot of this is tailor-made stuff. Michael Hagman has so aptly describing the goal of science is to create the diseases. So we've known for some time that the scientific research and the lab techs, they're tinkering with these viral strains through their genetic DNA material, and they create what are called RNA viruses. So these are tailor-made viruses. However, the sleight of hand, if you will, in editing viruses can kind of get out of hand. like we're kind of witnessing with the new measles vaccine. It's creating a lot of measles outbreaks in different areas. Of course, they're testing that vaccine. That's why you see measles just in certain areas. Actually, Canadian physicians analyzed the measles vaccine and the pathogen that was in it, and they said this is not a natural measles pathogen. This is not created by nature. Isn't that interesting?
Very.
Mm-hmm. So they, what they do is they mess with the proteins and the enzymes in the native DNA of a virus, and they manipulate it, and they alter it, and they create a new version of the disease. So the changes are called gene reading machinery, if you will. Michael Hagman goes on to say, to complicate matters, he says, regarding influenza strains, he says, the virus consists of 8 RNA segments, all of which have to end up in the same cell to make viral particles. So we got a lot of virologists out there trying to make a name for themselves, like the famous virologist, almost famous, Yoshihiro Kawaka. And he is described by some in his scientific community as brilliant, and others describe him as reckless. So Kawaka is at the University of Wisconsin, and he brags that he makes influenza strains from scratch. So therefore, these strains will not be nothing like the nature, what nature creates. So what Kawaka does is he inserts DNA versions of viruses using 8 viral segments called plasmids, and he shoots them into a cell with 4 other elements, also known as genes, and he creates different subgroup enzymes with them. And this can kickstart the proteins to create the RNA virus. So the scientists call this process of creating 12 plasmids as the tour de force. That's what they call this. So after they inject this cocktail into cells, in 24 hours, it creates an infectious particle, also known as your virus. So when they add genes and other elements, it boosts the virus production tenfold. So prior to Kawaka's method, genes and other elements to create a production of a virus took a long time. So what they've done is they created a simple, basic way of making influenzas in mass production, any kind of influenza they want.
Wow.
Okay. So the new vaccines are loaded with viral strains, and they're all manipulated RNA strains. So they're all, you know, created. Let's see, Andrew Peskos, he's a virologist with Northwestern University in Illinois. He says, this opens the door for us to analyze all the functions of influenza by mutating every single gene or combinations thereof. These findings speed up vaccine development. As new and more virulent influenza strains emerge, we can isolate those genes and substitute them with other strains, creating new pathogens and new vaccines. Voila. Yeah.
So it's all about creating more to create more.
Yeah, there's a running joke in the scientific world, more disease, more money.
Yeah.
You know?
A problem in search of a solution.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
So people say, well, what the heck is an RNA? Well, RNA is considered a close chemical cousin to DNA, and it's a code, and it's easily edited. So we are told that RNA edits of genes would manipulate genetics temporarily for the purpose of improving whatever it is science is trying to do. So the purpose, though, and function of RNA is to help regulate essential biological functions. So your RNA is made up of nucleic acids or nucleotides, and they are single strands of what are called polymeric molecules. And without them, biological functions suffer. So you got to have them. So they help with the DNA codes and regulation and expression of the genes. So the nucleotides are one of 4 major macro molecules that are essential for all living things to function. So think of your RNA as a traffic light regulating traffic flow. So the RNA editing that the scientists are doing is they're setting up maybe a roadblock so they can reroute the traffic. That's what they're manipulating. So it regulates your protein synthesis within the gene. It does influence DNA. Major functions of RNA, particularly, are messengers. They transcribe genetic information. So they receive encrypted code and they decipher it. Also, they transfer sequences of nucleotides into amino acids to the cells to use as a protein. And they also are a binder. They kind of keep genetic units attached to carry out their sequences. So they really have gotten the mechanics of disease function down, and now they control it. So, scary thought, isn't it?
Well, I got a silly question for you, Wendy. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think you talked about the RNA before and how it actually changes the DNA of us.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is, and I hope I'm asking this question right, because it's a, you know, a conspiracy theorist question. Yeah. Are they creating viruses and vaccines, or are they creating a new generation of body, so to speak? Or,
well, they are. Yeah, they want to edit humans, and in a way, this is the back door to
the back gene, door to it.
Back door to gene editing, because, like I said, your RNA binds. So what happens is all these changes bind to your DNA, and it does change it over time. It will change. So with each successive generation, you're going to see more and more. So have you not noticed with each successive generation, we have more autism?
Mm-hmm.
We have more, you know, neurological problems, diseases, really. So you see more and more things. Now, there's a Italian scientist, a virologist. He actually had, through vaccines and the thermosol in the vaccines, he thinks it's the mercury, the heavy metal. But he says through vaccines, you can change behaviors in people. He's done it with animals. Okay, so he's taken heterosexual animals.
So I can give him Ruby?
Yeah. So he's taken heterosexual animals, and after vaccinating them, they become homosexual animals. Isn't that interesting? Yeah. So, and if you notice a big uptick in gender confusion.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. So his, of course, the scientific community doesn't want to talk to this guy. You know what I mean? But he says, you know, that's not by chance that this is happening. So a lot of things are changing with an artificial infection, because that's what a vaccine is. And the thing that a lot of people don't understand is when you get your flu shots, your flu viruses are going to be the most deadly types of vaccines. And a lot of times they'll be told, oh, this is a dead virus. This is nothing to worry about. Well, the point is, if it's a dead pathogen, your immune system will not create an antibody for it because it's already dead. It's not active. It's not living. And also, virologists say you don't create antibodies unless you have a fever, because antibody production is temperature specific. So if you don't get a fever after you get inoculated, you have no antibodies. And that's the whole purpose we've been told about getting shots, isn't it?
It is. And you know what scares me? I hear some of these advertisements for the flu shots. Supercharged for seniors.
Supercharged
flu shots. It's like...
I know. Every kind of gimmick to get your flu shot. It's almost like you see these little signs outside of these, you know, drugstores and wherever. It's almost like, get your flu shot. It's almost like, step up to the bar and take a shot, you know?
Yeah.
It's crazy, and people don't investigate what's in these shots. Right now, you've got mostly quadvirulent, but now you have a mutated RNA quadvirulent strains. So you've got man-made influenzas, basically. And you've got problems with the RNA viruses, because they're not from nature, so they're going to react differently. And I don't know how on target this is, but over in Latin America, they put a halt on a vaccine trial for one of the COVID-19 vaccines. All of them have had to halt the trials at one point or another. So they halted this one, and it was kind of sketchy, but the president of the country doesn't want the vaccine. He won't make people get it. 10,000 people are in this human trial for this vaccine. That's a lot of people. And I think they alleged that within 60 days, people that were in the trial were coming down with mental illnesses.
I saw that.
So, which is new because some of the other vaccines, they were causing paralysis, neurological issues, which typically that happens with a virus strain. You'll get a neurological event. So it's interesting. And if you're coming down with the mental illness, that's still neurological, you know. But I just think people should investigate very carefully. But I think people are getting a little edgy about it, a little bit upset about it. They just feel it's too early, it's too soon, it's not tested. We don't want to be guinea pigs. You know, people are just nervous about the COVID-19 thing.
Well, what I wanted to know is why aren't they, in the meantime, why aren't they producing in mass quantities the antibody cocktails that were given to President Trump?
Right, the therapeutics?
Yes.
Yeah, I know. Well, he was pressing for that. You know, he's pressing to make it free for everybody, too. So I don't know how far along they are with that. But people are just really worried, especially the states where they have a lot of Democratic governors that are wanting to mandate these vaccines. And I think Virginia, I got a call from Virginia today from someone there, and they've come out with the tattoo vaccine. Remember we talked about the Band-Aid vaccine with the 400 micro needles with the tattoo ink? So that's Bill Gates. That's his baby. So I guess they're going to launch it in Virginia.
Hmm.
Yeah. So people are freaking out about it. And, you know, how are they going to manage it? I don't know. You know, what are they going to threaten you with if you don't get the shot?
Well, the thing of it is they don't have to threaten you with anything. But when you go to your doctor or you need to go to the hospital for a procedure, you won't get it unless you comply.
Yeah, probably. Probably. I'm ready to go home and see the Lord. That's okay with me.
It's like, holy smokes. Will you stay with us, Wendy? We need you.
Well, no shot for me, thanks. But, hey, we've got some solutions for everyday problems. They could give us a call at Apothecary Herbs at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Hey, if somebody tried the call this morning, we had an outage. We had a storm roll through, and we were out of power for an hour. So if you're trying to call and you didn't get through, that's the reason.
Okay.
Yeah.
Give the number one more time. I think we're going to get your storm, or at least we're going to get rain from it. It's moving on up. Yeah.
Yep. 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. And everybody just hang tight. You know, the Lord's in charge. He's in control.
Amen. All righty, Wendy. We appreciate you being here each and every Wednesday. We'll see you next week.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csetalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Dave, now another Fed prez comes out. The Boston says the next 6 months will remain turbulent as the global economy keeps grappling with the effects of the pandemic. So says Eric Rosengren. He's, again, as I mentioned, is the president of the Boston Fed. So Rosengren believes it will take time to distribute any vaccine, saying that it's still going to be quite difficult to distribute it widely, is what we've been talking about with Wendy. And, you know, it's just not going to be delivered as quickly as what everybody thinks it's going to be. And if it's delivered too quickly, who's going to want it? And again, you know, who wants to be the guinea pigs? As we know, governments have used their people as guinea pigs and for many times in the past, so I don't know why it would be any different. So Rosengren believes it's going to be quite difficult to distribute it widely. And he says, while it's certainly good news that there might be a vaccine in the near future, his own forecast for the second half of 2021 would assume that it would be widely enough distributed at that point. He thinks that the next 6 months are going to continue to be pretty choppy. So from now until the end of the second half of 2021, Dave, it's going to be pretty choppy.
Well, I wonder what happens after that.
I don't know.
Well, we know that the Fed estimated back in September that the U.S. economy would shrink between 3-4% this year, followed by a rebound of between 3.6-4.7% next year. However, that performance will be linked to how much monetary and fiscal stimulus is deployed, says Rosengren, and there are question marks about how much economic help lawmakers are going to come up with and when. Rosengren said it's probably not going to come as soon as we were hoping, and that does mean that we're not going to get as robust a growth over the next couple of quarters as we were hoping. He also warned that without fiscal help and without a quick distribution of the vaccine or vaccines, there could be more business closures and unemployment. How much fiscal policy we need, he warned, in part depends on how quickly we get the vaccine widely distributed. We'll talk a little bit more about that later in the program, Melody. Yeah.
Well, you know, our old IMF leader, I don't know what else to call her, now the European Central Bank president, Christine Lagarde, you know, they're all saying the same thing. And what's interesting, Dave, is it's like all economies are all based on this vaccine. Like, that's the cure for everything, but it isn't. Because all of these problems were already there. And the vaccine is not going to cure any of these problems. The vaccine is not going to cure a fiat currency problem. A vaccine is not going to cure inflation. It's not going to cure, you know, all the things that are ailing our economies. The only thing it's going to cure is countries where you have 70% consumerism. You might find people going back into the stores or maybe finding jobs, but they have a whole year that they have to catch up on. So really, how soon is the vaccine going to cure anything when it comes to the economy?
You raise a very interesting point, Melody. It could be the ultimate irony, in fact, that a vaccine or vaccines, particularly if they're 90% effective and a good chunk of people here in our country, let's just use as an example, choose to take it. Once we see, and let's assume that it's as effective as it's been in the trial, all that's going to happen is that the vaccine will just lead to the point where we can see just what you've been saying all along, namely that the fundamentals themselves were bad before COVID-19 hit. And I think that could really be, perhaps, wouldn't it be ironic as all get out if it were the vaccine that proved to be the black swan that brings the global economies to their knees? We're not on our knees yet. I mean, certainly people are scared and a lot more hurting. But boy, if a healthier America, a healthier world, despite that, I should say, over the next year or so, our economy doesn't move despite that, boy, things are going to go south, much deeper south, very quickly.
But the sad thing is, Dave, the world really isn't unhealthy. You know, we have other health problems in this nation. And, you know, all the vaccine's going to do is maybe keep people from getting it. It's not curing anybody, right? It's just keeping people from getting it.
That's correct.
So, again, I'm back. I want what President Trump had. That should be in mass production, not a vaccine. And I think there's going to be a large mass of people that will reject it initially.
That's possible, but at the same time, a number of folks have been saying, I mean, if Trump got the cocktail of what they reported, that other studies have shown that it's not effective for a wide number of people. That perhaps, you know, it was more flukish with him. That's not to say that shouldn't be made available to folks who want it. I'm not sure that we can be as optimistic that it's going to work for the rest of the country as it did for him.
And they'll be able to say the same thing, too, about the vaccine. You know? So, anyway, this is where we're going, is I don't believe. I mean, we're back to the economies. You know, I was hearing on the MSNBCs, not MSNBC, but CNBC, I don't know if it was Larry Kudlow or the Steve guy.
Steve McLeish.
Yeah, another, you know, well, I'll be kind. Talking about a world V-shape recovery.
Oh my God.
Are you kidding me? But this is all they can say. They can't report on the truth. They can't report. And it's not going to change. Doesn't matter who's in office. It's not going to change. They're going to continue to, because the opposite is far more dire once that black swan becomes apparent. And, you know, they're trying to keep the peace for as long as they can. So anyway, you know, going back to Lagarde and going back to another ECB governing council member, Klasnot, you know, it's all talking about, you know, it's going to take some time. And this is nothing's going to change overnight. But you certainly can see, Dave, how the media is using this as, you know, as a way to keep it going. And so far, government doesn't have to come up with another stimulus yet. So they're not going to do a stimulus until, you know, and I don't know if we're going to talk about it today, but you got the unemployment benefits that are be ending at the end of this year too. So, you know, it's, there's a lot that's going on at the end of this year, Dave, but.
Well, there certainly is. I mean, we know in France and Germany, which are the two largest euro economies, they're currently in another national lockdown. The ECB hinted last month at further monetary stimulus before the year ends. At the time, the bank kept its policy unchanged, but said there could be a recalibration in December based upon new and upcoming data. Lagarde was slightly more blunt, suggesting that the ECB is likely to cut borrowing costs for banks further, that is, as well as adjusting its pandemic-related asset purchase program. While all options are on the table, she said, the pandemic programs have proven their effectiveness in the current environment and can be dynamically adjusted to react to how the pandemic evolves. They are therefore likely to remain the main tools for adjusting our monetary policy. So, as you mentioned, a lot of the same things here and abroad, Melody.
Well, you know, just to finish up this pandemic talk, you know, we had the Pfizer came out, announced the information on the vaccine. Pfizer, the CEO, Albert Bourla, sold almost $5.6 million worth of stock on Monday. Yeah, and that's the same day that they announced positive early data on the experimental vaccine. So you had Pfizer shares jump by almost 15%, said that the vaccine was more than 90% effective. Bourla sold 132,000 shares at an average price of $41.94, $5.6 million. Now, you know, the sale was part of a pre-scheduled 10b5-1 trading plan that was adopted back on August 19th. And this was just as the company was enrolling participants in its late-stage trial. But, you know, Dave, I mean, if they think it's doing so well, why would they sell? You know, why do you sell?
Well, you know, it's oh boy, it just raises the image. Mm-hmm. As someone said, it's just a bad optic, Melody. Now, you know, there are folks that are supporting Bourla. There's actually an industry analyst, Brian Scorney, who said it highlights how capitalism can work at its best. He said, what's great about the biopharma industry is that there's an incentive scheme for private industry to come up with drugs that meaningfully change the healthcare dynamic in the country. And he added that Borla fully deserves this, and that his profit from the sale is minuscule compared to the net benefit an effective vaccine will provide the world. Borla's been with the company for more than 25 years, so he owns a substantial, Borla owns a substantial amount of Pfizer stock under both Pfizer's qualified and non-qualified savings plan. Apparently he owns 81,000 shares directly or indirectly. But again, Melody, it's the optics. I mean, and while like words matter, so do images. I know they're not everything, but in this day and age, I mean, it's the with all the great publicity that something like the rollout of this produced. I mean, Borla knows in advance that, that what the results are and that the announcement's coming probably at a full weekend at least.
Yep.
Why not just delay? Just delay the sale. Now, you know, it's I'm not sure what legalities are, what the waiting period is for that. Turns out, well, the stock would have gone up more after another 2 weeks after. Well, we don't know. We'll see in another 2 weeks what the stock, whether it's adjusted or whether it's going to climb now, like along with BioNTech's. But just doesn't look good.
But we don't know how, you know. There was a contract with government for $2 billion, almost $2 billion, for vaccines to be sold to the U.S. government. Was any of that money given to them? Supposedly, they were part of the WARP program, but they didn't actually receive money?
They received money, but not for manufacture.
Directly.
None of the manufacturing, or let's put it this way, all of the manufacturing was funded by the company or companies themselves. The government money was primarily for distribution, helping with distribution ideas.
Did they get that money?
I'm assuming they did.
See, that's where I have issues. You know, it's one thing to, hey, you did a good job. Hey, you deserve it. But on the other hand, you borrow, you get money. It's not money from the company. You didn't manage. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I know what you're saying, but I think they're again, their response is going to be, well, you know, the manufacturer, the testing, I mean, everything we've done to date, we've done on our own without, irrespective of government taxpayer money.
Yeah, well, that's what they say. That's what they say. And I'm going to say we're heading into a break right now. We'll be right back. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Dave Allen.
Oh, won't you tell me again tonight?
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. Heading into, we're going to talk more about stimulus and small business owners. And yes, it's could the good news, or I'm not going to say good news, but the news about a possible vaccine. Could that prove to be more negative for a small business owner? Some economists out there worry that it could reduce the urgency for Congress to pass that new fiscal relief package. There was a new survey by 10,000 small businesses that found that more than half of small business owners, 52%, have stopped paying themselves in a bid to keep their businesses afloat. And 4 in 10 already have begun laying off employees or cutting worker pay. One-third have dipped into personal savings to stay operational, and about one-quarter say that the legislative uncertainty has caused them to consider closing their business. Moving forward, 38% of those surveyed said that they will have to lay off more employees or cut their compensation. And so again, the numbers, 20%, Dave, said that they will not be able to pay their commercial rent through the end of the year without additional help from Congress.
Yeah, almost 60% of owners surveyed said their revenue has been negatively impacted. I'm surprised it's not more. 86% of those whose revenues have been negatively impacted attributed to changing customer behavior, while 44% say that the revenue decline is due more to state and local regulations. Economist Eric Winograd at Alliance Bernstein said the economy is dependent on fiscal support to sustain momentum in the near term and to generate reflation in the longer term. He added, with monetary policy largely bled dry, not so sure that's the case, although we're getting close, fiscal policy is the only game in town when it comes to managing the economy. And that means fiscal stimulus is critical to the economic outlook. So we'll see what happens. Don't see anything happening anytime soon. Do you, Melody? Focus seems to be elsewhere.
Not as long as that stock market's going up.
Yep.
And I really do believe that's the key. And as soon as that begins to weaken, here comes the stimulus. If they can't, you know, stem it from bleeding in any other way, I'm not sure they really, you know, there's much concern for the worker or business, small businessman out there. Their business can be picked up by Amazon or some other bigger company, so people will still have a place to shop.
Oh, isn't it sad, but true.
It is. It is. I find this interesting, the trucking industry. We were talking about the trucking industry at the beginning of this year when the COVID first started happening, how people were, you know, parking their semis and it wasn't looking good, but it kind of changed. It, I think it, after it went through that, now we're looking at the trucking industry has had a record demand to haul goods. Capacity constraints and the pandemic all making the roadways much tougher to navigate. So the surging need for road freight has exacerbated yet another issue, not enough qualified drivers in an area of stricter drug tests. So the demographics, a new alcohol and drug clearinghouse and increased hair follicle testing, as well as COVID, forced many drivers off the road and limiting new ones, are the industry's new headwinds. The average age of a driver is 46. Now, this is according to American Trucking Association, and more than 55% are 45 or older. My question is, I mean, is it because of drug testing, Dave? I can't believe that there's that many truck drivers that have a drug problem.
Well, the evidence says otherwise. A lot of these trucking companies now have, all of them. I mean, that driving big trucks requires a commercial driver's license, and that makes them subject to the U.S. Department of Transportation's drug and other regulations. It's mainly some random drug testing, but also drug testing for cause anytime there's an accident, essentially. But apparently stricter rules now, and I'm not 100% sure if these new regulations, carriers can now use the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration's Drug and Alcohol Clearinghouse, that's an online database, to identify prospective drivers, applicants, who are prohibited from operating a commercial motor vehicle, mainly a Mack truck in most cases, because of drug and alcohol violations. Apparently 40,000 plus such violations in September alone, 52% of them related to marijuana use. Now, here's the thing. The pee tests, blood tests to a lesser extent, but the pee tests particularly apparently are easier to manipulate with certain other chemicals that are harder to detect, or that these tests don't test for in the past. So they're going to hair follicle tests. They're literally taking tests of these drivers' hair. In fact, a recent study by the University of Central Arkansas concludes that about 300,000 drivers would fail a hair follicle test, eliminating close to 10% of all drivers from the workforce. The American Trucking Association's, in fact, lobbying for characters to report positive hair test results through a new clearinghouse, which would further reduce this pool of qualified drivers. The thing is that certain drugs, marijuana in particular, is known to be able to be found in the hair for up to 6 months after use. So it's a sort of a double-edged sword. It doesn't necessarily speak to current use, as you know, the blood test or pee test does. But they can see if there's, they want to. These companies can look for longer-term substance use. So the other thing they're talking about is, you know, move toward autonomous trucks, but we know that's in the early testing phases now, and it's going to be a long time, years, perhaps even decades, until that's been adopted to any wide extent. And they're also looking to attract younger drivers, namely 18 to 20. What's that?
Ain't that grand?
Yes, the least experienced drivers behind the wheels.
Throwing a little alcohol and some more marijuana, and What a world we live.
Go wild.
It is a mad, 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 mad world. Good grief. Yeah. Well, you know, we talked briefly about Hurricane Eta, and it's expected to cause at least $600 million in damages. And that is our levity is golden for this week, Dave, correct?
Well, it's true. You know, I can't help but remember my fraternity pledging days in college. I still see members of my pledge class standing in line reciting the Greek alphabet in unison with a lit match in between our fingers. Ow. Before we got burned. Alpha, beta, gamma, delta, epsilon, zeta, eta. I'll stop there. Because after days of hanging in the Gulf of Mexico, Hurricane Eta has begun to zero in on Florida's west coast, just as it had a week ago when we started talking about it. But now where it's expected to make landfall as early as tomorrow. Hurricane Watch has been posted along the west coast there, just south of Tampa, on up to Yankeetown. Eta could push ocean levels as high as 5 feet above normal in Tampa Bay and Charlotte Harbor, according to the National Hurricane Center. The good news is that Eta's power has probably peaked and it's forecast to weaken further before that landfall. This would be Eta's second strike after it hit the Florida Keys late Sunday, as the record 12th named storm to target the U.S. this year. Its real path of destruction, as we mentioned, has been in Central America and the Caribbean, where more than 100 people have been killed, at least as of counts of through today. So I'm not sure what's going to happen after it hits land. They're saying right now it's going to head north across northern Florida, bringing tons of rain and wind to Jacksonville on the east coast before hopefully popping back into the Atlantic and hopefully falling apart and waving goodbye to it after that. Here's the crux. Besides those 100 plus deaths, they're estimating it could cause about $600 million in losses. Although the high end cost could be as much as $1 billion. And this is for a storm that has caused relatively less publicity, fanfare. Although some of the more recent photographs of Honduras and Nicaragua are just utterly eye-popping. I mean, houses completely, complete neighborhoods in narrow parts of the island or closer to the ocean, literally all underwater, rooftops barely visible. Crazy, crazy stuff. Let's hope they haven't... I almost feel somewhat insensitive after all these deaths in Central America, saying hopefully the orange crops won't be destroyed. But Florida is the world's second largest producer of orange juice, right behind Brazil, Melody. In any event, that is this week's Not So Levity Is Golden.
Well, you know, I think I shared on the radio when we were in Nicaragua. I mean, the people there are already so poor, and it's, you know, it's, you just, I mean, sure, you have your little towns and so forth, but I'd say the large majority of them live in, you know, out in the country in shacks, and their mode of transportation are donkeys, and, you know, they cook outside, they go to the bathroom outside, and, you know, basically they have a roof, to sleep under. So not sure what how they refrigerate, but they probably eat well because they do grow everything. So they probably have a better diet than what we do. Different diet, of course, but it's probably a healthier diet to some degree. But I think of the people and the little kids that would run up to us and want to sell us their trinkets and so forth. And,
oh yeah.
You know, and you wonder how they fared. But I think they were pretty much on the ones that we saw might have been on the other side of the mountain range where it took its turn and so forth. But anyway, our thoughts and prayers are with everybody, and especially the people in Florida. Also, we have many, many clients in Florida and throughout that area that's just been, you know, over to Louisiana. And I mean, those areas have just been devastated this year with rain and floods. So
be careful out there, ladies and gentlemen.
One area that we, you know, we talk a lot about tuition and kids defaulting on their student loans and wanting free education and so forth. But they are struggling through all this too. So you have a lot of kids who are going to college that, you know, they might get financial aid packages, they might have savings, but they also work part-time. And it's harder now for these kids to work. And according to a new survey of over 7,000 students by AIG, 40% of students last month said they couldn't be able to afford a major unexpected expense. And they certainly don't have enough money to cover their school expenses. About 38% of current college students are worried that they don't have enough money to cover their expenses through the end of the semester. So that's another area that's impacted if people can't get back to work and these kids don't have jobs.
Yeah, you might want to talk about this tomorrow just quickly as the program's getting ready to end. China's Xi Jinping has essentially neutered the most democratic institution under China's rule. They passed a resolution today allowing for the disqualification of any Hong Kong lawmakers who aren't deemed sufficiently loyal. How do you like that, Melody?
Are they going to get their heads wet?
Yeah, 15 members of that legislative council resigned en masse.
Wow.
Just a few hours later.
Wow.
So
that is very interesting. We'll be back. Thank you, Dave. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, be safe. Good night, and God bless.
Bye-bye.
I wouldn't have to work at all. I'd fool around and have a ball.
Broadcasting to the U.S. and around the world by way of Clear Digital Audio, 22,500 miles above the planet, this is the Global Star Radio Network.